There's much about the Letters of a Peruvian Woman which focuses on the plight of women, and which requires the reader to rethink the nature both of a fictional heroine and indeed of a woman author. Zilia isn't a heroine like countless others, and she is emphatically not defined by her susceptibility to love. At the end of the novel, it is she, not a man, and not God, who calls the shots. And Graffini allows herself an outspoken critique of inadequate education given to girls and of reductive gender stereotyping. She creates a novel characterised as much by its historical research and social observation as it is by its representation of feelings. And it's also, in fact, a very provocative text, almost lying in wait for the reader, who may think that he has the measure of Zilia, who starts out at the beginning of the novel as a very naive and predictable outsider figure, only to become much more autonomous at the end. So to that extent, for all these reasons, we might perhaps use the word feminist to describe this work. And it's been read as a feminist novel by successive generations of readers since the 1970s. Zilia has become a model for the woman writer, critical, intellectual, independent. The fact that she effectively takes charge of her life and of her past by translating her own first letters into French corroborates this image of the heroine's status as an independent writer who has got the means of self-expression. Internally, though, we might wonder how triumphant this ending actually is. If Zilia finds an identity for herself, it's on account of the most fabulous good fortune. Her French suitor is able to bring her unimaginable wealth from the Inca temples, not an outcome readily repeatable for most women in 18th century France. And the country house to which she retreats to be herself is described more than once in the novel as a fairy palace, the kind of domain then which we might associate with fantastical fiction rather than with life. In other words, this feminist triumph is as much a wish fulfillment, perhaps, as it is envisageable reality. But it's also the case that to read the Letters of a Peruvian Woman simply through the lens of gender risks obscuring other originalities which are significant today, not because the novel is woman-authored, but because they are significant today. In its juxtaposition of Peru and France, for instance, the novel dramatises tensions created by difference, cultural, racial, or philosophical. In its account of French manners, it uncovers the moral and economic dangers of societies where display is the only truth that matters. And in its account of Zilia's gradual mastery of the French language, it examines how words are powerful as a means of understanding or manipulating others. Now, such themes as these, which have got nothing to do with feminist issues, are as urgently relevant today as they were 250 years ago.